from Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 22. So if you have your Bible, open it to Romans chapter 8, verse 22. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit given inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we have not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestinated to be born among many brothers and sisters. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will we not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God hath chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? May God add His blessing to His word.
Good evening, everyone. First, I just want to say thank you to the leadership of the church for inviting me here to share with you. I had the honor and blessing of knowing Bren a little bit. We did a few shows together throughout Alberta and British Columbia. And I also was very blessed to hear him speak on numerous occasions. So I want to try to work in the same type of vein he is. So for all of you who don't know me, and that's probably everybody except for her, my name is Jeff Mackay. And if I didn't correct it, my father, I'm sure I would feel him picking me in the back of the head from heaven. I went to my favorite ice cream place in town today and I corrected it there. So I am the lead pastor and founder of Fallen But Forgiven Cowboy Ministry. We are an evangelistic ministry based out of Manitoba and out of Texas. We travel all over North America, speaking wherever we get invited. I really like the fact that I have a roof over my head and I have a floor beneath me. I have preached in pastures, in bull rings, in rodeo arenas, in barns, in schools, wherever God leads me to speak. My wife and I started the ministry. We took it very serious. We went the whole way to become a nonprofit and a charity. And like I said, we do travel quite extensively. I know a couple years ago, I put 50,000 miles on my truck going from the Jersey Shore to Spokane, Washington, from my place to the very southern tip of Texas and everywhere in between. And people ask, why do you do it? Well, because I have to. I don't have a choice in doing it. If I get asked by somebody to come and share God's word, you have to. People say, oh, you should pray on it and stuff. If you have to pray on sharing God's word, then you shouldn't be sharing God's word. You just go and do it. And I'm not sure if you guys chose the songs today because somebody kind of had an inkling of what I was going to talk about. I think maybe the scripture gave a little bit of a weight, but what a friend we have in Jesus. Take your worries to him in prayer. And I'm talking about our prayer life tonight. Our prayer life. It has to be a fundamental part of our life as Christians. It's how we communicate and spend time with the Lord that we love. It's how we praise him, how we worship him, how we talk to him, we confess to him, and yes, sometimes we even cry to him. Smith Wigglesworth said this about prayer. I don't often spend more than 30 minutes in prayer at one time, but I never go more than half an hour without praying. Can you say the same? I wish I could say the same. I have never really timed myself, but I certainly know that I talk to God a lot. For if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be standing before you. What Christ did on the cross and his resurrection is at the heart of a Christian's faith. And it helps reveal five profound truths about prayer and the believer's relationship with our living Savior. So number one, we have a relationship with a living Savior. John 20, 27 through 29 says, "And then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.'" We all know Jesus appeared to Thomas after his resurrection, and he invited him to believe. His resurrection allows us to have a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. He's asking us, he's giving us that gift. He's asked, wants us to have that. And that is the essence of prayer. We have this living relationship. The resurrection signifies that Christ is alive. And that transformed prayer into an intimate and dynamic interaction. It's not speaking to a distant figure. We're not speaking to a dead deity. We are speaking to someone who is present, who is listening, and who is actively involved in our lives. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now this talks about the way it was in the Old Testament. If you had a prayer to God, you had to give it to the priest, and only the priest was allowed to go in the holiest of holies. But isn't it wonderful that what Christ did on the cross, we no longer have to worry about that. We can approach him any time, anywhere, and for anything. I just think that's glorious. It still gives me shivers when I say that. We need to approach prayer as a conversation. We need to speak to him openly about our joys, about our struggles, and about our desires. We need to trust that he is listening and that he understands with compassion. And when you pray, speak to him as you would to someone who truly knows you and truly loves you. We need to share our heart humbly and openly. Number two, we have hope and assurance. 1 Corinthians 15:54 to 57. When the perishable had been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection has signified victory over sin and over death. And it's this assurance that allows us to pray with hope, knowing that Jesus has the power to transform any situation. And he can bring good out of all of our difficulties. There is nothing too big for God. They say with us, doing it on our own, things are impossible. But with God, everything is possible. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can go to him directly, and we know that he's walking beside us all the times, even when we don't think so, when we don't feel him, he's there. He will never leave us. We have number three. We need to pray with gratitude for Christ's intercession. And it was mentioned in the scripture already. Romans 8:34 says, Jesus Christ who died. More than that, who was risen to life. And is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us to the Father. What this verse explains is that the risen Christ is on our side. He is going to his Father and saying, I love them. They love you. He's interceding for us. And we have his assurance that Christ advocates for us in every situation. We need to remember that we should bring our worries and our needs to him. Now, this assurance can bring peace and gratitude in your prayers. We need to persist and trust because Jesus' resurrection means God's plan unfolds in his perfect time. They say, what is a year? A second? 1,000 years? A minute? It's in his time. If you don't believe God has a sense of humor, tell him what you have planned and tell him your timeline. We get caught up in that. It's pretty hard to hear the word of God and hear his plan when you've already decided what you want him to say. So it's pretty difficult that way. And we need to trust that any delays or uncertainties do not mean that God has abandoned us. It only means that he is planning for something better. If we need any resemblance of remembering about that, reread the book of Job. God never abandons us. Believe me, I know. If anybody has ever given God a reason to walk away, it's me. They say your body is a temple. Mine was a funhouse. But he kept me alive. He kept me waking up every morning, even if I didn't want to, if my stupidity wouldn't allow me. And all it took is one step to fall back down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He never, ever leaves you. Number four, we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our prayer, and we need to ask the Spirit for our guidance. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all the things I have said to you. And then Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And after his resurrection, Jesus promised us and all his followers that the Spirit would come to us. So before you pray, ask the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts and words. Invite the Holy Spirit to lead you in prayer. And so this can help you find the words you need and the peace that you seek. Especially in moments when you are unsure of what to say, the Spirit strengthens your connection with Christ. Again, in what the scripture that was read, Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And what this does, this teaches us that the Holy Spirit will help us in our weakness and will intercede and will give us the words we need and will also pray to God for us if we can't. If we're stumbling and we're not sure what to say and we're praying with the Spirit, we're asking him to guide us, we know that our message is getting through. Who has ever prayed and wondered if God ever heard, if God has even heard you? I think most of us, right? And you think, oh, is God even listening? God always listens. He made us not like what he's hearing. He doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He just may need you to take a look at yourself again. Go back and say, Spirit, Lord, help me to pray. What do I need to pray for? How do I need to pray? You pray selfishly, you're not going to hear a whole lot. You have to get down on your knees. You have to be humble. You have to open yourself and say, I can't do it alone. Number five, you need to pray with an eternal perspective. John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now what this speaks about is that knowing God, and that God is the essence of eternal life. The resurrection is an invitation to participate in eternal life through our faith in Jesus Christ. Now the biggest word in that whole sentence is, it's an invitation. God gives us free will. So we don't have to accept it. And unfortunately, I'm sure we all know people who haven't. We'll get to how we deal with those people later. Now, in prayer, it's a reminder to us of our restored relationship with God and his promise of everlasting communion with him. We go back to John 11:25-26, says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Christ's resurrection offers the promise of eternal life. And in prayer, this eternal perspective can inspire worship and our alignment with God's purpose. Again, not our purpose, God's purpose. Now, we need to keep eternity in mind when we pray. We need to reflect on the gift of eternal life and the restored relationship with God through Jesus. We need to focus on gratitude. We need to focus on worship. We need to focus aligning our life with God's purposes. And as it says in Matthew 6:10, line your prayers to seek His guidance for living out His will. And we go to Matthew 6:10, where it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that is a couple lines from one of the most, probably the most famous prayer in the world. But it says, "Your will be done." Not Jeff's will, not anybody else's will, God's will. And whether you want it to happen or not, it's still going to be done. So it's better to be on His side, right? It's better to align our lives and our thoughts and our purposes with what He has planned, with what how He sees the world unfolding and what He wants to do with us. And I know. That's five. So in conclusion, the idea that Christ is a living God and that He desires to develop a personal relationship with each of us through prayer is central to the message of the resurrection. If we do not believe that God allowed Christ to be resurrected, then what's the point? So we know that He's alive. And this helps remind us that faith isn't about rituals. It's not about traditions. It's about connection with love and ongoing communion with God. And we can rejoice in the reality of a living, victorious, and interceding Savior. Our Heavenly Father wants to know us and hear from us all the time. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God." By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Doesn't say selfishness. Doesn't say self-serving. It doesn't say our thoughts. Thanksgiving for everything He has done. And I don't know about you guys, if Christ doesn't ever do another thing in my life, I can still never repay Him. So we have to approach Him with thanksgiving. Now we can nurture this relationship in our prayers. And we have to be open. We have to be honest. As we know, God already knows. There is nothing we can do, nothing we can think, nothing we can plan or anything else that God doesn't already know about and already know what the outcome is going to be and how it's going to affect us. All He's asking for us to do is to be honest and open. And it would just be the same as if you would with a close friend. You're honest and open. And if you meet some of my close friends, man, we're brutally honest. But that's what you expect from a close friend. You don't want them just telling you, "Oh, my jacket looks good on me," if it doesn't look good. You want them to tell you the truth. And that's what God wants from us. And we need, this is the very important. We need to dedicate uninterrupted time daily to pray privately in deep personal communion with our Lord. Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." I'm going to give you all a challenge. Try to pray to God uninterrupted for 5 minutes. And then if I get invited back, you can tell me how you did next time I'm here. I know when I first accepted that challenge, I failed miserably. I thought I was doing so good, then all of a sudden I was just like, what am I going to have for supper? And I look, it's 30 seconds. So just try it. When was the last time it was just you and God? That's how we're supposed to pray. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go into a room and shut the door and hide away from the world. It means we have to shut the world off and spend time with God. He deserves that. He deserves us to spend every second we have with Him uninterrupted. So can't we dedicate at least 5 minutes to Him uninterruptedly? We need to share our private and our personal joys. We need to share our struggles. And yes, we even need to share our doubts. But we have to know that He understands and that He cares deeply. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's absolutely amazing that the Creator of the universe has asked me to go into a daily personal relationship with Him. Oh, that gives me shivers too. The Creator of the universe has invited us into a daily personal relationship with Him. Got me shivers the second time. Like, I don't know. It just blows my mind that that's the way He wants us to be with Him so bad. He doesn't need us to be with Him. He knows everything. He can do anything. But He wants us to be with Him. Now, knowing this can shape your prayer life to become frequent and constant communication. But it's important that it's not just for the important things, but it's for simple gratitude and all our blessings. Everybody take a deep breath. Just take. Did you thank God for that breath? Because without Him, you wouldn't be able to take it. And that's something we take for granted, but that's the thing. Those blessings, you've got to thank Him for those blessings. Now, you need to fill our hearts with gratitude and with trust. And we need to recognize that He cares for both the big and the small moments of our life. There's a Southern gospel singer named Mark Bishop, and he has a song called Pray on the Little Days. And it says, if you pray to Him when things are going well and you call to God when things, He'll be with you when things are going bad. Oh Lord, please let me pass this test. Oh Lord, if you let me get home tonight, I promise I'll never drink again. And then the next day you're out drinking again. Not those type of things. Oh Lord, thank you for allowing me to wake up this morning. Thank you for allowing me to open my eyes and be able to see. Thank you for the breath I take. The simple things. And then when something goes bad, He'll be with you. He never leaves you, but He'll respond to you in those situations. Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Evangelist John Ramirez says, I talk to God more often than I talk to myself. Frequent communication like this makes the relationship with Him feel real and vibrant. And it's just like with any close friend, for any of those daily moments when you're just talking about how work was, when you're asking them, if do I look good in this jacket, or you're sharing something that is very concerning you. You need to seek guidance. We need those prayers of gratitude. We need to acknowledge all the blessings that he has. Frequent prayer can change our hearts. It can give us better attitude and outlook, being mindful of our blessings and grace that has been shown to us. We can more easily and graciously show love and kindness to others. And by keeping blessings and grace we've received at the forefront of our mind, we're living out a reflection of Christ's love. It's a love that overflows to others. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And may the Lord make you increase in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." And it's this kind of mindset that not only strengthens your connection with him, but can also help make you a vessel of grace and kindness in a world that desperately needs it. And believe me, the world desperately needs it. That your ability to show love to others with compassion and graciousness was a powerful testimony of your faith and the relationship you have nurtured with Christ through prayer. And lastly, your prayer life can change the world. As praying develops the gifts of the Spirit, which changes many characteristics and perspectives, it is truly the beginning of a profound love and acceptance of all God's creatures. We are called to be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14, and in verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Showing others the love of Christ can also open doors for us to share the gospel. We can open doors for us to help invite them to church. And my favorite one, how about we all try to make heaven crowded? How wonderful would you feel when you get to heaven, God says to you, "You see those people over there? They are here because of you." Wow, what more could I ever ask? If one person is there because of something I said, because I shared what God has done for me, you can't ask for anything better than that. So we all need to start working on smoothing our sharp edges in our own beautiful and transformational journey through prayer. And as you grow in love and acceptance for all God, for all of God's creatures, it's as though you're seeing the world through God's eyes. And with compassion, with understanding, and with reverence for all of his creation, and that you have a desire to bring them all to know your living Savior. Let us pray. Lord, just thank you. Thank you for everything, for taking that deep breath, for being able to be here today, for this fellowship that we get to share, for the families, whether they be blood relatives or families that are growing, that are just developing, Lord. We come to you with humble, open hearts and souls. We pray to you because we know you are the reason we have everything. And we also know that without you, we have and we are nothing. Lord, I pray that everyone here makes it home safely tonight, and when they wake up tomorrow, they wake up renewed, reinvigorated. They wake up thinking differently about the time they spend with you. They end up seeing the world a little bit differently because they are walking closer with you. And Lord, I ask that for myself. Every time we spend time together, I want to be closer to you. I want to walk closer. We need to walk in your path. We need to be working on your purpose, and we need to be able to accept that things happen in your time. Lord, thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. Thank you for, you could have saved him on the cross. He could have saved himself on the cross, but you didn't. You let him die so we could all live eternally with you. So Lord, I just want to again say thank you. We are your servants. We love you. We cherish you. We want to be with you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thank you all very much for having me.